Five Ways John Shepherd Acts Like a 14-Year-Old Girl by Roz Ellisett, read by Jenna. Number 1. He makes doodles in the margins of his personal mission reports. Rodney stepped into John's office and snapped his fingers expectantly. I need the mission report from P7X-345. John just scrunched his eyebrows and froze. Why? He hedged. Rodney sighed in frustration. If you must know, I was trying to write up my report and I can't remember any names of the Tanubian Council except for Blarco. Bartok, John corrected seamlessly. Whatever, yes. You see, I need your report as a reference, so can I have it or not? He made an impatient grabbing motions with his hands. John surreptitiously closed the bottom drawer of his desk with his foot, successfully stashing the folder sitting on top of the pile. Sorry, buddy. Haven't finished it yet. Rodney just rolled his eyes. Right, of course. Remind me again what you do all day, because it certainly isn't paperwork. He scowled. John just grinned lazily back at him before he got a call from his radio. John? Elizabeth sounded puzzled. Could you come to my office for a moment? I think there's been a mix-up with some of your mission reports. Number 2. He has a playlist on his iPod dedicated to songs that remind him of Rodney. On John's playlist is Falling for the First Time, Bare Naked Ladies, Head Over Feet, Alanis Morissette, My Best Friend, Weezer, Vent, Collective Soul, Welcome to Wherever You Are, Bon Jovi, Bend and Not Break, Dashboard Confessional, and I Will Follow You Into the Dark, Death Cab for Cutie. Lorne sat down next to Rodney, his tray piled high with breakfast food. Rodney made a face and moved over a few inches, glaring at John as if he were to blame for Lorne joining them after his morning run. Honestly, would have killed you to take a shower before you came here, Rodney snapped, scrunching up his nose. You're dripping sweat everywhere. It's disgusting. Lorne just rolled his eyes and ignored him, sliding John's iPod and headphones across the table. Thanks for letting me borrow it, sir. With a wry smile, he added, You've got quite an interesting taste in music once you get past all the Johnny Cash. John glanced out at the screen, which was highlighted the last played song on the list, Head Over Feet by Alanis Morissette. I lent it to Cadman last, so she must have downloaded some of her personal stuff. Lorne peered at him doubtfully over a fork full of eggs. Must have, he agreed. Number 3. He passes notes back and forth to Rodney during debriefings. John draws a wormhole, a puddle jumper, and plays a short game with Rodney, which he wins. Then writes, Rodney, I'm bored. How long is Elizabeth going to take? How should I know? Well, you're the answer man. Shut up, Elizabeth's looking. John draws a ZPM and Rodney writes, What the hell is that? ZPM! Wow, you suck. Hey Rodney, look, it's you. He drew Answer Man in the corner, complete with logo. Oh my god, were you dropped on your head as a child? Hey now, is that any way to talk to your sidekick? He's in the middle of writing plucky, handsome, heroic, when Rodney grabs a notebook, scribbles it all out, and writes poofy-haired in place of it. Why do I get stuck with you as my sidekick? Taylor regularly kicks your ass, plus she'd look better in the outfit. John writes, Speaking of Taylor's outfit, your ass is grass. Ronan just caught you checking her out. What? I wasn't checking her out. I was... John grabs the notebook. Buddy, do you have the hots for Taylor? No, I... John grabs it again and writes, Oh my god, yes you... Rodney yanks it back. Stop taking the paper! And I do not... Do so... Not! So... Could you be any more juvenile? Was that a challenge? John writes, Rodney, scribbles it out, and then Meredith and Taylor sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, with five little hearts spread around it. Rodney takes it, scribbles out Meredith, and puts Rodney in place, and then writes, God, what are you, 12? Underlined twice, with three question marks. Stop pouting. Fine, so you don't like Taylor. Elizabeth, then? Oh, for God's sake, no! Underline, three exclamation marks. And speaking of Elizabeth, she's glaring at us, so just stop already. Rodney, check who you like. Taylor, Elizabeth, Cadman, Beckett, Selenka, Hermione, Ronan, Miko, Kavanaugh. Rodney takes it back, writes, ha, next to Selenka. Scribbles Kavanaugh out and writes below it, You are a sick, sick man. And then, Seriously? By Hermione. Then he checks, none of the above, which he has written. Come on, Rodney, you're a guy. There must be somebody on Atlantis you like. Listen, Kirk, unlike some people, I can actually control my libido. That translates into either, I am currently getting laid, but am ashamed and slash or embarrassed of my source, and then writes, but ugly, between my and source, and I am not getting laid, but too ashamed slash embarrassed of my but ugly crush to tell you. Okay, enough with the checkboxes. Can we stop now? John was still snickering over Rodney's bright red face as he began to write, do you like me? Check yes or no. He stopped abruptly at the sound of Elizabeth's voice. John, something you'd like to share with the class? He immediately closed his notebook and raised his head to find everybody in the room looking at him with varying levels of annoyance and amusement. Putting on his most innocent expression, he replied, no, I'm good. Please continue. He added a gracious head nod for effect. Elizabeth just raised her eyebrow and tried to stifle her smirk. Number 4. He keeps a diary and gets grounded. Dear diary, he scratches it out, journal. It's not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. It was an accident. Sigh. Seriously, I didn't mean for anything to happen. Rodney and I were out in the jumper testing out the new systems he designed to let us activate the cloak and shield at the same time. So cool. Anyway, I was monitoring the power readouts on the HUD just like he told me, but then I sort of got distracted. Fine, okay. Rodney was in the back messing with the crystals or something, and I turned around to check out his ass. I can't help it. He's got a hot ass. The next thing I know, there's sparks flying everywhere. Rodney's yelling at me about not watching the readings, which I totally was. They were fine. I was only looking away for like a second. And then his pants caught on fire. Specifically, the sparks landed on the seat of his pants and caught his ass on fire. Anyway, I jumped right up and started trying to put out the fire. And wow, the guy's been working out or something because I sort of accidentally copped a feel and just wow. Now, you think this would be a good thing, right? I mean, I got to play the hero, saving my best friend and unintentionally getting to second base at the same time. But no, Elizabeth had to call me into her office right after I landed to yell at me. Something about being irresponsible and preoccupied. I don't know, I wasn't really listening. The point is, she grounded me. And the worst part, Taylor's party is tonight and everyone's going to be there, celebrating some festival, but not me. I'm stuck here by myself and it's not... Shepard, Rodney's voice called over the radio, interrupting his writing. I talked to Elizabeth. You're no longer grounded. John's mood brightened instantly. Really? Yes, really. Rodney's voice was condescending, but John knew he was fighting the smile. But you owe me big time. What are we talking here? Firstborn? John snickered. Because you and kids is just horrifying. Yes, I know. There was a pause, then. Let's just say you owe me a favor of my choosing. Now that is horrifying, but I suppose I don't have much choice, do I? John surrendered, staring out to the setting Atlantean sun. No, I'd say not, Rodney replied smugly. So, want to take Jumper One out to the party? What, now? Sure, just let me change my pants. Number 5. He giggles and blushes and gets butterflies in his stomach. 15 minutes later, John had emptied half his closet before deciding that he really needed to add a little color to his wardrobe. Fine, black it is, he decided, throwing on a fresh t-shirt. If it's good enough for Johnny Cash, it's good enough for me. He spent the next 15 minutes in front of his mirror, fussing with his hair gel, but he would never, ever admit that to Rodney, not even upon threat of sewer detail or even quality time with Kavanaugh. What's taking so long? John heard Rodney's irritated voice in his radio. Are you still primping in front of the mirror? John watched his reflection's eyes widen in shock. No, John pouted. Whatever, Rodney answered, unconvinced. Just get your ass down here and fly me to the mainland. I'm hungry and the party's already started, so all the good food will be taken if we don't leave now. John spent the most of the long walk to the jumper bay trying to calm the completely ridiculous and unnecessary butterflies in his stomach. He had almost succeeded when he turned the corner to find McKay in new cargo pants and a charcoal gray t-shirt, bent over the jumper controls, round ass shoved up into the air directly in John's line of sight. He said eloquently. What was that? Rodney muttered, half turning towards John. He swallowed, then tried again. What you doing? Well, you were taking so long, I thought I'd take the opportunity to run a few diagnostics. Don't want a repeat of the overload this afternoon, he replied snidely. John gave Rodney's ass a contrite look. Right. So are we gonna do this thing or what? Turning and sinking into the co-pilot's chair, Rodney gave John a look that came frighteningly close to a smirk. Yeah, I'd say it's about time we did. John just gave him a funny look before settling behind the controls and taking off for the mainland, the bonfire easily spotted in the distance. A few hours later, both John and Rodney were pleasantly warm from the giant bonfire and the Athosian's mead, laughing heartily over Ronan's test of manhood on P7X-345, where they made him shave his head. John was still drunkenly giggling into his mug when Rodney surprised him. Shepard, close your eyes. John blinked at him tipsily for a second. Why? Rodney shook his head. Never mind why. You said earlier that you owed me a favor, so this is it. Now close your eyes. John gave him a suspicious squint before complying. Just as his eyelids shut, John let one eye pop back open to peer at Rodney, who gave him a glare that meant he'd been expecting that small bit of defiance. Sighing, John closed his eyes and tensed, wary of whatever Rodney had in mind. After a few long seconds, John was getting anxious. He opened his mouth to tell Rodney to just get on with it already, but his words were drowned out as soft lips claimed his own. Rodney swallowed John's soft moan of surprise, then John leaned into the kiss, his body feeling pliable and willing from the drink. He lazily mouthed Rodney's lips, warm and slick, until finally Rodney pulled away to look into John's eyes. "Rodney?" he asked, unsure of where exactly that had come from. McKay just rolled his eyes and let out one of the sighs he usually reserved for overly stupid lab techs. "Oh, please. I saw your mission report sitting on top of Elizabeth's inbox yesterday. I borrowed your iPod off Cadman last week, and I spent enough time with you after to know that you're always writing in that stupid diary of yours. You're not just a 14-year-old girl, Colonel. You're a dorky, lovesick 14-year-old girl." John felt his face get so hot he was halfway expecting to spontaneously combust. "It's a journal, not a diary," he objected petulantly. Rodney just looked at him skeptically. "Right." A pause, then, "So, can we get back to making out like horny teenagers?" John couldn't stop the absurd giggle that erupted from his chest, even as he felt himself blushing again. Leaning forward, he easily pulled Rodney towards him, their mouths meeting halfway in a searing kiss. The rest of the night passed in a warm, blissful haze, too wrapped up in each other to notice Lauren giddily snapping pictures with Elizabeth's camera. The end.